All right, welcome to the Mid-Range Podcast. My name is Jacob Weiss. I'm welcome. Here with my co-host, Nick Geramonte. How are you doing today, Nick?
Fired up as always. You know how it is. We're inching closer and closer. We're getting there step by step, inch by inch to the college basketball season. Secret scrimmages are happening. Open charity exhibitions are happening. The Frogs are killing Tarleton State in their own stadium, looking tremendous, shooting over 50% from the field. Ohio State is landing 5 stars. It's a good time. It's a good time for the show. It's a good time for the show.
Jake Diebler is making himself worthwhile.
He is.
All right, Nick, you know how I like to start it with a question? I got a good one for you.
Here we go.
You know, there's a lot of coaches in the SEC, a lot of history, a lot of great names, great coaches, but one that I know you love is Coach Cal.
There's one, yes, Coach Calipari, the greatest coach in college basketball history.
And before you continue, I just have one question for
sorry,
you.
Sorry.
I just have one question about Coach John Calipari is...
Go for it.
Is he a guy who impacts young men?
That's your question?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. John Calipari impacts the lives of young men more than I think any other person, maybe.
Yeah.
Not even coach in history. What 100%. He's done to take the lives of these kids, turn them into men, not exactly just on the basketball court, but to give them financial stability, morals, so many lessons. Like, you look up and down. I mean, the NBA starting tonight as we record this, we're going to see countless players John Calipari has touched. And you look at Karl-Anthony Towns, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk.
Is that why Karl-Anthony Towns acts like that?
What?
Is that why Cat acts like that? Because John Calipari touched him?
I mean, he is... If you look at the NBA, he's impacted basketball, and he's doing it at Arkansas because they made it to the Sweet 16 in year one, and John Calipari has picked up... Like, it was a tumultuous end, Jack Golke and the losing of the tournament early on and everything. Yeah. But he's an unbelievable coach, and he is my favorite coach in the SEC.
You know, he's a guy... And honestly, Nick, it's really tragic because I don't know if you saw what he said a couple weeks ago, but this feeling that he's having of college basketball becoming just transactional.
Yeah.
And him, especially, as a guy who's always valued the beauty of college basketball and the patience and the long careers and stuff like that. And, you know, he's a guy who's never taken it in a transactional way or used Kentucky as a one-and-done factory for, you know, a decade where he would just have a ton of players just come in for 1 year, go immediately to the NBA. It's not like that's how it was or anything, right? And we can agree he's not.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's a thing where, yes, a result of a lot of players being Coach Calipari's system has given them NBA prowess and the ability to succeed at the next level higher than any other coach that we've seen probably ever. But it's more about, like, this is why you love college sports and specifically college basketball, is that it's more about these transactional stuff. And yes, the NIL gets a little messy and all that kind of stuff, but it's something to be said when you still have coaches doing it like Calipari, where it's about the relationship being built. It's about making a connection. It's about growing them as people more than players. And I think no one represents that more than John Calipari.
And I'd have to 100% agree with you there, Nick. Coach Cal is a guy who we all love. He coached Arkansas, who I don't... Well, Let's go into the greater SEC first, and we'll get back to Arkansas later. The SEC this year comes off the season where they were probably the greatest conference of all time. They had over, 13 bids?
There was a lot.
Yeah.
They probably did have the best season
of 12 all time. Plus bids. It was the record. It was the most bids any conference has ever had. Is that right?
I believe. Yeah.
And while they aren't quite to that level, as it was a lot of kind of perfect teams, you know, coming into their final form all at the same time and leading this incredibly deep conference of just dominance, it is still probably the best conference in college basketball. And I know you might disagree with that, and you might say that the Big 12 is better, but you look at these teams from top to bottom, and there's talent up and down the SEC. And it's hard to start anywhere other than Gainesville, Florida, the reigning champion, Florida Gators. Obviously, they lose their entire backcourt. Walter Clayton, Martin Richard go to the NBA. But they add guys like Boogie Fland and Xavier Lee from Arkansas and Princeton, respectfully, who were two of the predominant guards in the transfer portal this summer. We see Condon come back for another season. He's a preseason All-American. They are in the national title conversation again this year going into the season. Nick, where do you sit with the Florida Gators this year?
It's tough not to love them, and they're probably my best team in the conference. I mean, whenever you're the national champion and you can return that front court of Thomas Howe and Alex Condon, it's elite. That's just a stability that they know that they have for sure. Obviously, when you lose the backcourt of Elijah Martin and Walter Clayton and Shadow Warrior Will Richard, it's tough. And that's going to be the concern, is the depth beyond the starting five and probably the chemistry between the new guards of Cal product, Boogie Fland from Arkansas, and then Xavier Lee, who's been one of the best mid-major players out over there in the Ivy League for seems like a while now. So their starting five is, in my opinion, the best starting five in college basketball. And yeah, they're going to be right back in the national title mix. Todd Golden's a great coach and great guy on and off the court.
Yeah.
And he's going to be able to produce again a national title team. Like, his rise to prominence has been nothing short of amazing. Obviously, when you get coached by Randy Bennett at St. Mary's as a player, like, you're going to be able to get those kind of chops to be able to coach a national championship team. And that's exactly what happened. Like, you saw what he did in the WCC and immediately jumped from the WCC to win a national title in, what, 3 years? Like, that's unheard of. And Florida's going to be right back there. And yeah, well, we'll get to winner picks later, but I think you can guess where my head's going.
And that's fair. Todd Golden is a guy you really got to appreciate on all levels. A guy who does it the right way, like you said. On the court, has the Florida Gators running, as well as any other program in America, back to former glory. Off the court, just a stand-up guy. Always doing the right things. And you got to appreciate that on a certain level. And the Gators are unreal. And they're going to be unreal again this year. But their biggest competitor within the conference has to be Mark Pope and Kentucky. Otega Owe comes back, is probably one of the favorites to win SEC Player of the Year alongside Condon. Jalen Lowe comes in from Pitt, who's a high-scoring guard last year. Maybe a little inefficient, but I think the guy who's getting the most hype is Jaden Quaintance from ASU, who's an incredibly long, incredibly athletic freak defender, who if he's coming off an ACL tear, but if you remember what Rocco Miller was saying to us last week, it seems like he's going to be ready to play almost immediately, which is pretty unbelievable because he tore his ACL like 5 months ago. I don't really even know how it's possible, and I'm definitely doubting it until I see it. But I've been seeing a lot of stuff online that's like he's going to play, which is unreal. You know, the Kentucky spent a lot of money to bolster this roster for Mark Pope after he proved last year how great of a head coach he is. I know I'm very excited about the Wildcats, but where do you stand with Kentucky and Mark Pope this year?
Yeah, I love them as well. The thing I love about Kentucky is that their football team sucks, right? And whenever you have a lot of basketball schools like we've seen, if there's one thing I love about them, that's what I love.
Yeah.
But my point with that is that they're a basketball school. We've seen a lot of basketball schools like try to turn to be a football school and invest a lot in football and turn basketball. They're not doing that. They're just saying we're going to be the worst team in the SEC in football and just invest $23 million and be the highest spender in college basketball, which I love to see because that's where their bread and butter is. And it looks like they're going to benefit from that a lot this year. Like Otega Owe and Jalen Lowe coming in from Pitt is as good of a guard duo as it gets. Like, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the country because of that. Like, it's a deeper roster than last year. It's a more athletic roster than last year, I think. The health of Jaden Quinn is a question, but as, again, like you said, Rocco told us and what everyone's been hearing is that he's going to be good, and he was a massive five-star coming out last year with ASU. I think a lot of people thought he might have been a one-and-done guy, but it's
he's unreal.
Probably as well as he had hoped. Yeah, he's very good, especially defensively. Like, his body just gives him the ability to be a threat. Integrating those new bigs and having these high expectations could be a question because Pope just hasn't done it yet to that level of, like, Final Four national championship-style stuff. But this team definitely does have true Final Four potential, and they're going to ride their guards of Otega Owe and Jalen Lowe, and that's exciting because this roster is stacked. You have the bigs of Diabate and Brandon Garrison and Jaden Quinn. So you can go hand-in-hand with this roster up and down, but Owe and Lowe are going to be the engine, and I think that's going to be – they're going to be like a fun style of basketball in Mark Pope's system.
Yeah, and I think what's really special about this team, I think we've talked a lot about these – top contenders, and it's kind of like it's elite offense with questions on defense, or it's elite defense with questions on offense. If Quaintance is everything he can be, there's no question about Kentucky's opportunity to really level up defensively this year. And if they can do that, that offense is going to be humming just like it was last season, and they are 100% national title contenders. Rocco Miller picked them to win the national title on this very podcast. The hype train is definitely significant for Kentucky. I think it's a big season for Mark Pope and the Wildcats, and Lexington's going to be bumping this year for sure. Let's move down the list to former Kentucky head coach and a guy who we know touches young men on a level unlike any other coach in college basketball, John Calipari, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Like you mentioned, it was somewhat of a disappointing, let's say, up and down season for Calipari and the Razorbacks last year, coming off some great years with Musselman. But we saw, once it came to the tournament, they win their first game, and then they go and they beat St. John's, who was coming in with a really good chance, people thought, to go all the way to a national championship or a Final Four. And that hyper-athletic defensive style, they forced it inside. That's Calipari. He did it in Arkansas in the tournament and kind of gave you a look at what they had. And now he returns Wagner and Knox, and he adds elite freshmen in Darius Acuff and Malik Thomas. This is going to be a really fun team if they can work to their potential. The hype train is maybe getting a little out of control. Nick, where do you sit with Arkansas? Do you buy the hype, or do you think they'll be disappointed?
Yeah, I like Arkansas, and I like I agree with you that they're overrated. Because of just the hype, and again, in today's era of college basketball, where a lot of these upper echelon teams are old and transfers that have been there, they all reliant on the freshmen, rather great freshmen in Darius Acuff and Malik Thomas. But they're gonna have a lot of freshmen in their rotation, which could obviously Cal's had success with a lot of Kentucky, but it's a completely different game than it used to be, where that's rarer and rarer. The thing I do like about them is that they have a lot of continuity, which is different than the Kentucky teams, where they return three starters. Carter Knox and Trayvon Brazil, I both love. But you need more front court consistency, I think, from the transfers that they brought in to really make me fully buy in on them. It's a very balanced roster, and don't get me wrong, like, Arkansas is going to be safely in the tournament. But, yeah, I don't necessarily think they're a top three team in this conference, or, for that matter, even, I don't know, arguably a top five team. Like, I don't think they're a top five team in this conference. I think there's a lot of better teams, but that just goes to show more of the SEC strength than Arkansas necessarily being bad itself.
And I know you were a big Z guy, so I know you're disappointed to see him.
I know. I know. Join the 10.
Yeah, what can you do? All right, let's head on down the list. Let's talk about a few more of the kind of contending tournament-level teams before we get into some accolade stuff. Tennessee. As we know, they have not yet reached a Final Four as a program. Rick Barnes has continued to have great success in Tennessee. However, they just struggle to get over the hump. Same old Tennessee, football and basketball, I guess. They look to have maybe a bit of a surprise year this year to some extent, because they lose Zakai Ziegler, they lose Lanier, but they bring in Jacoby Gillespie from Maryland, who's a very good player, and a top five freshman in the country, Nate Ament, who, if you follow what's coming out of Knoxville, this guy is supposed to be, like, unreal. Like, DeBant's a Boozer-level guy, and he's rated as such. So I think there's a lot of intrigue this year with Tennessee, and that maybe it's a lower floor Tennessee than we've seen in the past, but maybe, just maybe, there's a potential that they could hit. Nick, do you think that they have the potential to be a Final Four team this year, or do you see a dip for Rick Barnes in Tennessee?
Yeah, I do think they could be a Final Four team. I love Tennessee. I think they, yeah, like you said, losing Ziegler, losing Chaz, and then I think an underrated loss is Santiago Vescovi, who had been there a while and kind of been like their heartbeat of their team, their leader there. There's a very good case that Tennessee could have the top transfer coming in, Jacoby Gillespie from Maryland, and the top freshman in Nate Ament. Like you said, I'm all in on Nate Ament. I think he's going to be a top five pick once the season ends. And whenever you have guys like that, it's going to be a very, very, very high ceiling team. I think, yeah, Final Four is 100% the picture. I think they're going to ride that duo of Gillespie and Ament to a great point. And they also have guys like Felix Okpara and some other guys like Cade Phillips, Jalen Carey, like some other good role players to go around it. But, yeah, it's always scary when you are so dependent. Like you said, like the floor is probably lower, that you're dependent on a freshman and a transfer coming in. But these are two special guys that I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're going to boom. So, yeah, I do like Tennessee. I think Tennessee could very well be a top three team in the SEC, right up there with Florida and Kentucky.
So you would have them over Arkansas then?
100%. I think they're easily over Arkansas.
That's fair. Were you online at all earlier in the, like, I think it was early October or late September when Nate Ament became the number one player in the country for like 12 hours?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that, and DP jumped him. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like the whole, like it was all like, oh, we got the number one player, we got the number one player. And then, like, the next morning, it was like, yeah. Wait, no, he's not.
No, we're correct.
That cracks me up. Because
the thing is, like, yeah, DeBanta was number one when BYU gave him on the money. Like, you almost wonder, like, if he wasn't number one, would you invest that much in him? Like, I think the same with Bryce Underwood in football, or like Dylan Raiola in football, where it's like they gave these guys all this money when they were the number one recruit, and then they aren't, and then you wonder, like, if you overpaid that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all stupid, the rating system, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just like, it's so funny. It's like, how do you go from being the number four player to the number one player when the season end, like the AAU season ended 2 months ago. Like,
yeah,
it's just like the most like illogical, like
some recruiting guy the probably funniest came up shit. To it.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's good because it means nothing, but it means everything at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally like the difference of $1 million, and it is completely subjective.
And you also wonder, like,
every day is like.
Like, I don't know how much this happens, but you have to imagine, like, because this means so much in the age of NIL and you're getting paid much, like, how much are these guys, these 247 guys and these On3 guys, and I guess Rivals is a part of On3 now, but, like, you got to bribes in the way, because it's like, okay, if you're the top recruit in the country, like, you get close with the top 247 evaluator and throw them some money under the table to get... now the number one ranked position, then you're almost making a profit because you're making that much more NIL than the guy who's fifth or tenth or whatever. But yeah, no, it's
or fun. Like and, if you're a team with a connection with one of those guys, and you're like, hey, we got this guy to commit, like, you mind bumping him up a little bit so it like looks a little better for us?
If you're the team, you want them to bump him down. Because then you can get a bargain out of it. Yeah, that's what a lot of football teams do. Like, you hate when... Like, for TCU's example, for football, since we're not at the top...
Yeah.
They got that wide receiver from Southlake, mm-hmm. Brock Boyd. And then he, once he commits as a three-star, he has a great season. Scott Rockets to a four- or five-star. Ohio State poaches him. So then you're like, well, damn... We want these guys to kind of slide under the table. So I think that's the also alter ego of this whole thing. Like, yes, it's a flex to have, like, the top-rated guy in the top-rated recruiting class. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, results are better than those things.
Yeah. I guess you're looking at it from kind of a TCU perspective. I'm looking at it from, like, an Ohio State perspective.
So yeah, when you have unlimited money, like, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, TCU is so poor and sad. Like they can't afford it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you look at basketball.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a matter of where's the money going and how much money is being given. Not is the alumni base have the money, that I will say. But
no,
beside the point, that's a whole different conversation. That's a conversation for another episode. But let's talk about Nate Oates. Let's talk about threes. Let's talk about layups, and let's talk about free throws. Alabama and the Crimson Tide come into a season with maybe lower expectations than they've had the last few years, where they've kind of come in as a presumed Final Four, presumed top five type team. They come into this season ranked behind Arkansas at 15. A lot of turnover, obviously. Mark Sears, who has been one of the best players in college basketball for a few years now, is gone, and they have a new centerpiece of the offense, LeBaron Filon, who I know you're very high on. Alabama, what do you think? Is this a contending team in the SEC? Is this a make a run of the tournament team, or where are you at?
I like Alabama a lot, and that's because... Mainly, I love LeBaron Filon. Like, LeBaron Filon, there's an account on X.com, the Everything app, that posts, like, it's almost like a burner that just posts, like, LeBaron Filon practice highlights, and he's, like, the most unreal player of all time. And when you put a guy like LeBaron Filon, and he was very good with Mark Sears at the helm, but you put him in an 8-0 system where he's the guy. Like, LeBaron Filon is going to be a player of the year candidate, an All-American candidate, one of the best players in the country. And I'm not even, like, this isn't even, like, an in-Jackson thing. No. This isn't even, like, a...
Wait, what?
Like, a... This is, like, a legit, like... LeBaron Filon is that dude. And he's going to be the catalyst... This is going to be the catalyst of Alabama, and they're going to ride and die with him, and I think they're going to ride with him for the most part. You also surround, let's say, okay, you surround LeBaron Filon with shooters like Aiden Holloway, who has all the talent in the world and is ready to take the next step. You also return Latrell Wrightsell. The front court is iffy. I will say that. And the defense is scary because they are going to be playing a lot of smaller lineups with Filon, Holloway, Reitzel, and they're going to be playing a lot of triple digits, like 110 to 105 type games.
Yeah.
Aiden Sherrill is a guy who's going to have to take a big, big leap forward. He was a minimal rotational player in his freshman season, but he's going to have to be big now because they don't really have a ton of skilled bigs. But as long as LeBaron Filon is healthy, like Alabama, there's no ceiling to their team because Filon is that good. Like, just search LeBaron Filon on X.com, the Everything app. Everything happens on X because the Everything includes LeBaron Filon hype and LeBaron Filon highlights. And LeBaron Filon is truly, truly unbelievable. He's him.
Buy stock now, you're saying. Wow, it's still cheap. Yeah.
All the stock. I mean, you look at Nato's system. Like, you look what Mark Sears did. LeBaron Filon's probably more skilled even than a Mark Sears. And that's insane praise because you know I love short guys who aren't that most athletic. Yeah. But LeBaron Filon is LeBaron Filon. Like, watch LeBaron Filon highlights.
It's a whole other level. LeBaron
Filon. Yeah.
LeBaron Filon, LeBaron Filon.
LeBaron Filon is going to LeBaron Filon, and LeBaron Filon is going to take Alabama to however far LeBaron Filon can take him. Because the standard is the standard.
And Alabama is LeBaron Filon.
Alabama is like. LeBaron Filon.
That's going on a TikTok for sure. That's
going LeBaron on Filon. I mean, LeBaron, like, you want me to talk about LeBaron Filon? I'll talk about LeBaron Filon because LeBaron Filon gets me fired up.
You're trying to trick the AI into giving you a good one.
Well, I mean, you asked me about Alabama. If I look at Alabama guards, like, it was Mark Sears last year, and then it was LeBaron Filon was kind of the Robin. And then, like, LeBaron Filon is going to be the Batman this year. And I know, like, you look at the stats, and it's like, all right, LeBaron Filon only put up, like, 10 points a game. He wasn't that great. Yeah. He was only playing 25 minutes, but, like, just watch the kid play. He's 6'4". He's a guard. Yeah. He's a combo guard. Like, LeBaron Filon can ball with the best of them. He's the complete package.
And that's that. And we're in on LeBaron Filon. It's an official mid-range stamp of approval on LeBaron
Filon. Are you riding with LeBaron Filon, too?
Dude, if you are this passionate about anything, I'm going to ride with you until the fucking wheels fall off, dude.
LeBaron Filon.
I'm in.
Well, like, let's look at Alabama.
LeBaron Filon in Jackson. Yeah, I'm coming with you with these guys.
Week one. Look at Alabama's non-conference. Week one.
Let me throw it.
Saturday. St. John's.
Oh.
LeBaron Filon versus in Jackson.
Nah, the mid-range bowl.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
It's like pornography on national television. What a beautiful moment.
And then, you know who they play next after the St. John's game?
Tell me.
LeBaron Filon, Thursday, versus number one Purdue and Braden Smith.
Oh, yeah.
You get back-to-back games.
Give me that.
Of LeBaron Filon in Jackson and LeBaron Filon, Braden Smith. And then after that, they go the next Wednesday, LeBaron Filon versus Big Z. This is all back to back to back in Illinois.
Yeah, that's an incredibly, genuinely an incredibly difficult non-con.
And then after that, you go LeBaron Filon versus number 21 Gonzaga in the Mark Few defense.
Yeah, but we know Mark Few is done.
Yeah. And then so you go UNLV, Clemson, UTSA, Arizona. I mean,
Arizona, you're just wiping right past Olapete in Arizona. I mean, this is a gauntlet for the non-con for Alabama.
Yeah.
And LeBaron Filon.
That shows the confidence that Nate Oates has in his team, led by LeBaron Filon. So that's it. I'm just excited to watch because he's gonna have a lot of primetime matchups early on, where he has the ability to stamp his name as one of the best players in the nation. And I think he's gonna do that.
I love it, Nick. You know, I love to hear you passionate about a young man like LeBaron Filon is as good as it gets.
Let's get into accolades, dude.
You want to talk some ackies? Some accolades?
Yes.
All right, first let's talk accolades.
Can we talk about the preseason poll? What's your thoughts on it? Florida, Kentucky,
the
Tennessee.
The preseason SEC?
Yeah. Florida, Kentucky,
Tennessee. Okay.
Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Missouri, Ole Miss, Texas, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, LSU, South Carolina. It's a pretty good conference.
Run me through that Auburn and then the next few after Auburn.
Auburn, Missouri, Ole Miss, Culture, Texas, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, LSU, South Carolina, Gamecocks.
Vanderbilt and Missouri are definitely better than Auburn. That I will say. Vanderbilt is definitely better. Like, no doubt.
Don't take my underrated team.
Vanderbilt? They are. I mean, they're not even. I don't even.
Okay.
I don't even think they are underrated. I think people know. I think this is like Ohio State's ninth in the Big Ten. Like, we all know that's dumb, but like, it just is. Like,
but
they
the
don't
preseason
know.
Poll is what the preseason poll is. I'm glad you're winning Vanderbilt. Because I was going to rant
be like
about
a top five seed in the tournament. I think they're going to be really, really good.
I don't disagree with that, honestly.
Yeah, they're like Beington, dude. He's a really good coach. Like, he's making the most of like a roster, a not
I know, you're
super.
Taking my, you're taking my whole flow, but no, but I love it. I love it.
No,
I love
I'm in.
It. I love
I'm
it.
In on Vanderbilt, and like
I love it. Here, I love it.
We'll talk about underrated teams, and you can do your Vanderbilt school because I'll go with a different team down there when we get to it. Let's just get it. Let's get into the meat and potatoes right now, Nick.
Dude,
give me your champion for the SEC.
I talked about it before. I love this Florida team, and I love Todd Golden. And
I can't
what
believe
they've
you're
done.
Going to Florida.
I'm going with Florida. Florida's my SEC champion. You can get cute. You can do all these stuff. I'm going to take Thomas Howell. I'm going to take Alex Conner. I'm going to take Boogie Flynn. I'm going to take Xavier Lee. I love Xavier Lee.
You're going to take a trip down to Delta Chi.
Yeah, you're well, okay. You're going to take yeah, you can say all you want about the depth. Oh, they're bringing transfer guards. They're not the same as Walter Clayton, Elijah Martin. It's similar to a UConn. They're going to miss Will Richard, all this kind of stuff. They're the defending champs. I'm going to put my money in the defending champs. I'm going to put my money on that front court. And I'm going to put my money on Todd Golden to be able to use Boogie Flynn and Xavier Lee to their highest potential. Because that's what he did with transfer guards. Like, all those guys are transfers. You look at Elijah Martin coming in from FAU. You look at Will Richard coming in from Belmont. Walter Clayton from Iona. Like, he's done this before, and I'm going to bet on Todd Golden to do it again.
And that's fair, Nick. I'm not going to go with Todd Golden in Florida, although I do think that they're right there. I'm going to go with Kentucky. I'm going to go with Mark Pope in his second year with a better. We said this on our first episode. I picked Kentucky, and I'm sticking with it with Kentucky because I think they're going to be awesome. And it's like you said, they have the highest payroll in college basketball, so it's not like it's some hot take or whatever. It's Mark Pope in his second year.
Love about Kentucky. So their football team sucks.
Yeah, and you got to be excited about a team with a football team this bad too. And of course, no, Kentucky's good. Kentucky's amazing. I'll tell you, Owe is a monster. Jalen Lowe comes in at point guard. We talked about Quinns. Quinns is going to be a contender, All-American contender if he plays. If he's actually healthy, he is an All-American contender.
He was good. He wasn't that good at Arizona State.
Dude, this guy's got the mentality. Have you heard him talk?
Okay.
He's like so nerdy that I have like full faith in him. Like,
okay.
He's so like strange. I'm all in on him. And like Diabate in that front court as well is going to be great. They're going to have really good defense to go along with it. What is one of the best schemed offenses and a lot of talent on offense. I'm going to go with Kentucky. Mark Pope in year two, winning the SEC, bringing Kentucky back to former glory. Final Four, Kentucky, book it right now. they're headed to Indianapolis.
I like it.
All right. And on that note, where do we go next? You want to give me a overrated team?
Yeah, I'm going to go Auburn. The Bruce Pearl retirement definitely scares me a little bit. I know they still kept a lot. But I think that sudden can affect you, like we saw with Tony Bennett in Virginia last year. And I just don't love that situation. They just lost a scrimmage to Oklahoma State, which I think is a very good representation of what conference is better. When you look at the depth of the Big 12 team that's going against what a lot of people, hey, that's just culture. Ole Miss is a program of culture, they're a whole different story. I'm not picking Ole Miss as my most overrated team. I'm picking Auburn because I love Tahad Pettiford. I think he's ready to take that next step.
Yeah.
He's young still. I like the transfer they brought in, Keyshawn Murphy from Mississippi State, and then Keyshawn Hall was the leading scorer of the Big 12 for a large portion of the year last season at UCF. They had size and scoring, but their youth scares me. And again, the ability of Stephen Pearl to coach in these SEC games that are going to be tight with, again, a lot of youth compared to the rest of the conference scares me too. So, I think they're still a tournament team and everything. But where were they picked? They're picked 6th in the SEC preseason poll. Yeah, they're a much worse team than 6th in the SEC. So, that's where I stand on Auburn.
Yeah, and I know you've been particularly critical about Bruce Pearl and, you know, his politics and things of that nature.
I've not commented.
I know that's something you've been really focused on. And so I understand why you're taking this stand against Auburn. They probably will. I mean, they just are overrated. Like, it's not even like, it's a good pick. It's just obvious. Like, how are they the 7th best team in the SEC? They lost so much from last year. Other than Pettiford, they're looking to kind of like make chicken salad out of chicken shit to some standpoint with a coach that has zero experience and is the pretty obvious they only got the job because he's the last head coach's son. Like, it's not that complicated. They're overrated. I will pick another team just to keep it interesting. And I'll go with Arkansas. Because I think Arkansas is, like you were saying, relying a lot on freshmen. Judy, you're retweeting TCU shit.
Go. Tell me about Arkansas.
Arkansas is relying on a lot of young players. I think Darius Acuff can be really, really good, and I hope that he is, but I don't think he's quite on the level of some of these elite guards around the country. And I question if Calipari, with high expectations, is a guy that I want to bet on. As we've seen in the past, he's disappointed. And I'm not gonna fall for it unless they prove me wrong. Because, like, last year they weren't anything special until they won 2 games in the tournament. And I also think what always happens with these teams is they win as underdogs in the tournament, and we're like, oh, they're actually good. They're going to be good. And then, like, they end up disappointing. So I'm going to go with Arkansas as a disappointing team. And then why don't you give me the underrated spiel here? Go ahead.
Talk about Vanderbilt. It's Vanderbilt. And it starts with Devin McLaughlin is one of the most underrated players in the country. Devin McLaughlin is going to be their head honcho, their guy. He's a guy who's been there before. He's a guy who they retained, started off at BC. It's a great forward that can be reliable on an every night basis. I really like AK Okereke. He's an underrated transfer coming into Vanderbilt. He comes in from Cornell. He's just a smart dude. Another 6'7" guy, another California guy. And then I think the guy that know what he's talking about is that they got a point guard in Frankie Collins. Frankie Collins comes over from TCU. He started at Arizona State, and he got hurt. His foot about 9 games into the season, and it was funny because it actually happened against Vanderbilt. So full that circle moment funny, for that. It? He just I guess ironic. But he feels healthy now. He was feeling healthy. He was feeling healthy at the start of their process. And when he's on, he's athletic. They had a scrimmage the other day. He looked amazing. He's dishing a diamond. He's an athletic. He's a smaller guard, but he's built tough and built big, and he's a strong defender. He's gonna be the catalyst for what they do, and to be able to unlock an Okereke and McLaughlin, who's again one of the most underrated players in the country. Yeah, maybe there's not enough scoring perimeter wise, but I don't know. I think that they have guys that could be able to do it, and a lot of like last year they made the NCAA tournament, but they lost out of the guys. I think a lot of the guys that were returning are just as good, if not better, and slept on. So they're scrappy, they're well coached, and I think they're gonna shock a lot of people this year.
I think their spacing is gonna be really good, and I think they play hard every day, every game for Binghamton, and they're gonna be better than Auburn, and I think they could be a better team than Arkansas within the SEC come the end of the year.
Agree.
They're gonna win. They'll win the games that they're supposed to win.
I think they're top 5 team in the conference.
Wow,
Vanderbilt. Is a top 5 team in the SEC. There you go.
There you go. Perfect.
Better than Arkansas. Right. Better than Auburn.
Vanderbilt is a better team than Arkansas in 2025. Book it.
There you go.
I'm going to go with Missouri. Missouri's long...
Go.
They're going to take, 40 free throws a game. They're long. They play great defense. They play hard. They continue to be good, not great, and I don't see that stopping here. So I'm not going to, take them to be a contender in the SEC, but they are, they're like the Wisconsin of the SEC, where it's, they're always getting picked in, let's say the bottom half of the conference, and then the season starts, and it's oh yeah, it's still Missouri. Nothing's changed. They're still going to play hard. They're still going to play good defense. They're still going to get to the free throw line. Missouri Tigers, give it to them. They're going to be better than people think.
Shout out Mizzou.
And what are you doing? Shout out Mizzou. All right, Nick, why don't you give me a...
Shout out Mizzou.
Big time shout out Mizzou. You want to give me a player of the year in the SEC?
Let me tell you about my player of the year. Because I don't think I've talked about him enough. It's LeBaron Filon. LeBaron Filon is unbelievable. What this guy has in his bag, he is a future NBA star. He's the guy nobody is talking about. He's the guy who will make the next big jump. He is unbelievable. LeBaron Filon will put up crazy numbers in the NATO system, better than anybody else in this conference, and they're going to be a top 5 team. Alabama's going to be a top 5 team in this conference, and that's going to be good enough to earn LeBaron Filon Player of the Year in the SEC.
I feel like top 5 is just go. They're top 3, top 2. Screw it, LeBaron Filon. I got a guy like that.
But
you get a guy like LeBaron Filon in there. I know you think Alabama's going to win the whole thing. I'm gonna go, and I know you do, and it's okay. You don't want to journalistic integrity and stuff, and I know you're afraid to say what you really believe.
Their front court scares me, but LeBaron Filon doesn't.
But Filon is a guy who you know is going to take them to win the SEC, and I'm glad that that's what you were thinking. I'm glad I could kind of share with the world what you need to say. For my player of the year, I'm going to go with Otega Owe at Kentucky. He is a great scorer. He is a talented defender. He's going to be on the Kentucky team that's going to win the SEC, and he's going to be a near 20-point-per-game scorer. Get some assists, get some rebounds. A good all-around player. I don't think he's necessarily going to be some NBA superstar, as LeBaron Filon obviously will be, as we know. But Otega Owe is a great college basketball player, and Otega Owe is a guy who's going to be right there when it comes to the SEC Player of the Year and All-American honors. And that's a no-doubter.
No doubt.
Now we're going to go with Freshman of the Year, Nick. Who you thinking? Ment.
I'm gonna go a Ment. It's gonna be a Ment. Like Derek's Acuff, I really like, and I was thinking about him a bit, but it would just be idiotic to not go Nate a Ment because of the role he's gonna have. Like
it would be pretty idiotic.
It would be idiotic. Like if anybody goes outside of a Ment, especially on this podcast, that would be idiotic. Because Nate Amendt's going to be him and Jacoby Gillespie are the duo there. And they're going to ride it as he goes. And all reports is that he's unbelievable. He's going to be a top five pick in the NBA. And he's going to have these highlight performances. So, freshman of the year, give me Nate Amendt.
Yeah. Me too. I don't need to do a whole spiel. He's obviously a top five rated recruit who's going to be the main scoring option for team that looks to contend in this conference and come March. So yeah, it'll be a Ment. And Nick, where should we go from here? Do you want to transfer? Go? If there's a transfer you'd like to talk about, you should.
I mean, it's just, I'm going to take Jacoby Gillespie, but I just want to throw that
You're
out there.
You're a Gillespie guy, aren't you?
Because I think that duo is that duo is legit, so give me a little Tennessee run for freshman and transfer.
I like it. I'm going to go with – if we're doing transfer, I'll go with Quentin's because he's going to be awesome, and I know you, like, for some reason don't like him, but
– I like him. I think you're overrated.
I'm a guy who's willing to
– and maybe it's because – I don't know. I watched him a lot last year, and it was a bad Arizona State team, and it – I don't know. I feel like his production probably should have been better. But, yeah, he's –
yeah, but you get him in the room with like a competent head coach and a competent system and a competent program, unlike what Arizona State is. You can't even finish that sentence. And honestly, Arizona State,
they're a good coach.
Bobby Hurley is not a good coach.
He almost beat TCU in a tournament game just 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
That should say something.
Yeah, almost beating TCU.
He was close.
Yeah. Yeah, so was Jim Harbaugh, to be fair. So we'll give them both credit for that.
That wasn't close.
Yeah, they kicked their ass.
They did. All right.
Do you want to do a draft and then get the fuck out of here?
Whoa.
Get the heck out of here.
How many tournament teams do you think? There are. Who are your tournament teams? I kind of want to hear. Do you have a crazy take? Do you have, like, Tennessee's going to miss the tournament or something like that?
I don't know if I have a crazy take. Florida, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee, Bama, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Missouri, A&M. That might be it.
No Auburn?
I said Auburn.
Oh, okay.
No Texas, though.
No Mississippi State? Josh Hubbard?
Brandon Walker?
Brandon Walker? Played in CCU last year?
Yeah, Mississippi State. I don't know. They're just boring. Right. I guess they probably will make the tournament. But I don't know. If you have strong feelings, the thing is, like, the honest answer is probably that, once again, 12 teams, or, like, 11, 12 teams are going to make it. But, like, I'd rather put my money where my mouth is and be like,
I think Texas 10
isn't a tournament team.
I agree. I also don't think Texas is a tournament team.
Auburn might be closer to the bubble than people are ready to admit.
In 5 days after recording this, TCU in Texas playing a closed secret scrimmage, my take on Texas will be based off of that team or that scrimmage.
And either way, it's going to be that Texas is amazing.
Honestly, if TCU
wins,
I just wish Texas is an amazing team. Any team who could even compete with them is unreal and should be deserving of high praise from the committee come tournament time.
Okay, if one team... Okay, I'm going to give you a list. Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Florida. If one of those teams has a disaster season and doesn't make the tournament, who is it going to be? And you can't pick Auburn. I'm taking Auburn out of it. So the other five.
Wait, what are you? Alabama, what are the Tennessee... teams?
Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Florida. One of these teams has a season from hell and doesn't make
Arkansas
the tournament.
Arkansas, for sure. Just because the freshmen and their front court is scary.
And is that something you genuinely believe could happen?
Yeah. I think there's a chance Arkansas doesn't make the tournament. I don't think there's a chance in hell that Florida or Kentucky or Tennessee don't. Yeah, that's my take.
And it's not like LeBaron Fireline's going to miss the tournament, so we don't even have to talk about
that. Yeah, we don't have to mention that.
All right, you want to go through some all-conference? You want to give me your tournament teams if you have any smoking hot takes?
No, those are my teams. I had 10.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 teams make the tournament.
All right. On that note, let's get into an all conference team draft. We're gonna go. You want to go 10? Let's go 10. We're going 10. We're going
like,
10.
Like five each.
10 each.
Okay, let's do it.
And you got the first pick, buddy. Let's hear it.
All right, LeBaron Pylon. On to the next.
Have to.
LeBaron Easiest Phylon, pick of the first. Draft.
I'll go Otega Owe.
I'll go Tahad Pettiford. We talked a lot down in Auburn, but I love Tahad Pettiford.
Yeah. Pettiford is going to be awesome. And he's going to be an All-American conversations coming out of the season, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'll go with Condon. He's going to be quite the... He's going to have quite the season. He's a preseason All-American, so you know, give him the credit he deserves.
I'll take the other front court member, then I'll go Thomas Howe.
All right, Nick. I'll go with my guy Quaintance. Since you're doubting him so much, I'll take the risk here. Okay. I'll say he's going to be an All-American and an All-Conference player.
Okay.
And that Bobby Hurley ruined him.
I'm going to go Josh Hubbard, Mississippi State. He's the guy there. He's been there a while. He's already had crazy production. No, Josh Hubbard is going to put up some crazy numbers this year, and I think Mississippi State's going to make the tournament.
He will definitely be up there. I'll go with Nate Amendt at Tennessee. We both picked him as freshman of the year. If he wins freshman of the year, he's probably going to be in this conversation, so let's do it.
All right. I'll go with the other Tennessee star. I'll go Jacoby Gillespie. I think Jacoby Gillespie is going to flourish in the Rick Barnes system.
That you do.
Handling the ball. Zakai Ziegler.
I'll go with McLaughlin at Vanderbilt. You called him the most underrated player in the country.
I like
He's going to be a big part of their season, and I'll rock
it.
With him.
Glock it. I'm gonna go Anthony Robinson II from Missouri. He's a very talented point guard, and I think I'm a little higher on Missouri than you. But, yeah, I just like his ability to lead the team this year.
I'll go with Boogie Fland. coming over to Florida from Arkansas. He's going to have a big year. And I think I know who you're going to go with next.
You have no idea who I'm going to go with next.
Okay.
Because I'm going to double up on Mizzou. And I'm going to go Mark Mitchell, Mizzou.
Oh.
Tigers coming over from Duke. He already had 1 year with Mizzou last year. Coming back, Mark Mitchell. Talented.
I love it. And I will go with the other guard at Florida, Xavien Lee. Comes over from Princeton. One of the best mid-major players in the country for multiple years. Give me it, Xavien Lee.
All right, I'm going to go... let's go Brandon Garrison, Kentucky. What a top two big man on Kentucky. He has Oklahoma State experience, had 1 year in the system, and yeah, I like Brandon Garrison in the system in year two.
That's fair. I'm going to go with a European guy who comes into Ole Miss. You know, that's a culture team, as we both know. I'm going to go with Elis Commerdine from France to have a big year for the Rebels.
Culture. Do you know what that is? Do you know the backstory of the culture?
No, well, to run me through it, I just thought it was a Chris Beard joke.
Well, it kind of is, but that's actually what they use as, like, their slogan. Like, the Ole Miss slogan under Chris Beard is culture. So whenever they get a recruit, it's like hashtag culture, which is
ironic.
Funny. Yes, culture.
Because he has not necessarily promoted the best culture in the past.
Yes. I'm gonna go with Muhammad Diabate. Like, Kentucky has so many good big men that, like, I don't even know if Clayton is the top two big men on Kentucky. I think Muhammad Diabate coming over from Alabama is better, and I think Garrison is better. So I like the ability of Diabate in Pope's system. So yeah, give me Muhammad Diabate.
Diabate. You can have him.
How many players do we have left?
I think we have like 9 left.
Actually?
No, we have like 2.
Okay.
Let's say one more round after this one.
Okay.
Because I'm running out of names. So I'm going to go with Jalen Lowe, who comes into Kentucky from Pitt. Big time scorer. Dropped 30-something on Ohio State last year, so.
I'm going to go with my guy, A.K. Okereke.
Yeah.
From Cornell to Vanderbilt. A.K.
Okereke.
He's a dog. He's a dog. Smart guy. Cornell to Vanderbilt. He's got to be right. He has to be right.
That's fair. Yeah, I go deep down to the basement of the SEC. I'll go to LSU and I'll go with Dedan Thomas Jr. A big ad for LSU, and he's probably going to be their main option and could score a lot of points. And that's it. And that's the mid-range.
Yeah, also we didn't talk about Texas A&M. Texas A&M, sleeper. They're going to make the tournament.
Rocco is all in on Texas A&M.
I'm all in on Texas A&M, too. Giga Maggies, Texas A&M, making the NCAA tournament. Yes, Buzz left. Yes, no more Wade Taylor. The Aggies are still there. And it's I really ball. Like what they've done. It's Buckyball, and give me the Texas A&M Aggies to make the tournament. I wanted to get that in because we hadn't talked with them at all. But... I mean, Mackenzie Mbako from Indiana. He's going to take him and redo him. Ruben Dominguez coming in from overseas. A little style change there. They're going to have a good offense. Buckyball.
That they will.
Giggin'.
Buckyball. That was the SEC. Thank you so much for listening to the Mid-Range. Next episode, we'll be joined by my friend over at...
Yes, I'm out next episode.
Yeah, no Nick. I'm excited to hear it. I had to find another person who knows. You're not going to listen. That's the fuck part, is you're actually not going to listen. That's the most hurtful thing. Because I got my guy from College Court Talk coming in to talk ball with me. Be introduced to him on the next episode. No Nick, just me and him. It'll mostly be SEC. So this will be a big SEC week because he's a Tennessee guy. But yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to him. Kind of in the same boat as us, trying to build a little brand for himself.
Also, like,
yeah.
Sorry. Should we break down the Tarleton TCU scrimmage?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's do a little Tarleton TCU talk now at the end of the pod.
Can we talk about David Punch just a little bit?
Yeah.
Just a tad.
You know what's interesting with David Punch? What I will say about him is I was listening. I remember hearing from him it was around a year ago, where he was in this interview and they asked him, like, what's something that people don't know about you? Like, that people don't know you can do on the basketball court. And what he said is, I can shoot the ball. And it's like, people don't know that David Punch can shoot the ball. And he goes and he only takes like 10 threes last season, shoots about 50% from the free throw line. And he goes out against Tarleton State. And what is he? Oh, he's sniping. He's worked
on that a lot of his game in the offseason. And he's a guy who's first one in, or one of the first one in, one of the last one out, because there's just so many hard workers on TCU's roster. But all Big 12 guy. All Big 12 guy. Micah Robinson, all Big 12 guy contender. Bug Edwards, freshman of the year contender. I mean, to drop 8 points in like a minute in that scrimmage, the Frogs look good. Their defense looks very impressive. A lot of people.
And what did we learn? What did we learn about Tarleton in this?
Oh, they're a good team. They're a well-coached team. New arena. Very, very nice arena. That was the first game in the new arena. Very, very nice. And to be able to welcome TCU and do it in that way, first-class organization. A lot of people are talking about TCU out of the side of the purple and white scrimmage. Like, I saw a lot of tweets across the nation, and people on SportsCenter talking about it, and how the offense is great. Like, they put up a lot of points. But the defense, they're like a small team. Like, I don't know about this defense in the purple and white. In the purple and white scrimmage. And they just go to Tarleton and hold him under 60 points, 54. It's unbelievable. Now, we have a close scrimmage this weekend. I won't be able to talk about it for a while. I apologize until next week. But I'm excited for it. I'm stoked. I'm stoked for that opportunity against one of the best teams in the SEC. So, that's just my take on that.
Was that a little teaser though?
I think Texas is a very, very good team. Very, very solid team.
I thought you were saying. Never mind. Were you in the building at Tarleton or no?
I was not. I was at an AT&T Stadium.
Oh. Watching the boys get a big win. Speaking of, all your teams.
Don't sleep.
All right. Well, appreciate everyone who's still listening. Please follow us on everything, the Midrange CBB. My name is Jacob Weiss. This was the Midrange. Good night.
Episode what? What are we on now?
Seven.
Six? Seven? Lucky number seven. Excited for the clips from this one. I know Jacob White's going to be rolling them out.
Yeah, they'll be out. TikTok, etc. All right. Adios.
Bye.